Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. I am your host, Ezekiel Miguel Colon Jr., and thank you again for joining and listening. If you guys have been listening to this past week, I want to say this. One of the things I'm most happy about this show is that we've been able to make it through COVID. We've been able to survive through some of our careers moving forward, and we've always got great guests and co-hosts who hop on in. And I want to give a special thanks to our co-host this evening, Mr. Scott Maffei from the No New Friends podcast. Scott, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. I thought you were going, we always get great guests, great hosts, and then we have to settle on Scott every once in a while.
Scott, bro.
Can't you just take the compliment? Thank you, Miguel. That's the reason why we don't give you any compliments, because you throw it back in our face, man.
Now, how's No New Friends, how's No New Friends been going? You're about to tape your 50th show soon, right?
Yeah, we're doing our 50th show. We're recording that Wednesday. James is going to be a guest. We're a finalist for Orlando Weekly's Best of Orlando competition for Best Local Podcast.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And you guys are also Best Local Radio Show finalists, right?
It happens, you know. Scott, you and Mary, one of the things about the No New Friends podcast that I really like is it's hosted by you and your good friend Mary, who I've named Claves and Calves because she has very prominent clavicles. And,
yes, she does.
And it's good calves, good for her, you know?
Yeah.
But you guys started out, you guys have been buddies for what, 15 years, 20 years?
Yeah, like, how long we've been, well, not quite that long, but we've been best friends for about 8 years now. Oh, and, yeah, just, you know, natural conversation. She's really the star of the show. I just kind of
guide
her in the direction that she needs to go.
We do like her. Do love
but
her.
Why, give us, tell us again, why is it called No New Friends Podcast?
Well, at first, it was really because she's very possessive. She doesn't want me to have any new friends. She wants me all to herself and all that. But then we realized as time went on that we're just socially awkward and we can't make new friends. So it's just, you know, no new friends.
Okay. Wait a minute.
It's super sad.
It is sad.
That is. We just can't make friends.
That's like the beginning of a suicide memoir, man. Yeah.
Dear No New Friends listeners, I am alone. Bye.
<You know? laughs> Bye. I love you. Bye. Yeah.
And then at the double funeral for you guys, all anybody will talk about is Mary.
They were like, yeah, oh, for so sure. Cool. Yeah, for sure.
Her claves and calves were so hot. Like, what about Scott? Coward did what cowards do.
Yeah.
Took the easy way out.
I love it.
Also on today's show, we got our good friend, lawyer, comic book writer, the streets himself, Mr. Jeff Kaufman. Jeff, you're going to be appearing at MegaCon this year, August 12th. You've got, and you're there the whole weekend, correct?
Yeah. We have a booth. We'll be there selling the new version of Jolly Jane Volume 2 with my co-writer, Russ Rollins.
Woo!
Russ the Boss Rollins. And, you know, it's kind of good because it's your coming out party, man. Miguel will be the first time Miguel's ever been featured in a comic book.
I'm featured in this comic book as Miguel
Sloan.
Yeah. Let me ask you, the writing process for you and Russ, I feel like it's you sitting there at a desk writing while Russ is bench pressing, listening to Kiss, and he's like, hey, man, is there any way her boobies could be bigger? Like, yeah.
Hey, and I love
yeah,
Mary Ellen.
Yeah. 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 Russ and I remember when Russ first came to me, he goes, I got this idea and it's about, it's called Swamp Girl. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, what? And then like a month later, we were talking again. He goes, remember when I came to you over the comic book guy and you told me you weren't doing it? Yeah, it sucked, man. I'm not doing it. And he goes, well, what about this one? He threw this idea at me and I'm looking at him going, all right. This is what we can do.
Yeah.
If I flip it and I do this, this, and this, it might have legs. And I said, come to my office. We'll sit down. We'll do a writing session together. And he came in, and I beat him like a baby seal, man. I mean, what I did to him, and he took it. He really did. And finally, he understood what I was talking about. I said, listen, a line is important. You have to believe it. It's a two-dimensional character, and I want you to believe what I have to say with very limited words. I get, like, on a page, I might have two sentences that character gets to say, and I have to have you believe her. And, you know, he thought it was more like writing for, like, an 80s action movie.
Yeah.
You know, like when you kick an Asian guy in the face, and you go, sayonara. I'm going, you can't do that. No, yeah. Sayonara, dude.
If I can just just interject it, one thing real quick, Jeff. Thank you for saying that, because when I tell people that I love comic books, they think that it's like an 80s action film where it's just easily written. People don't understand that most of the movies you see, and I'm not talking about Marvel movies, are based on a graphic novel where it's basically a piece of literature that someone wrote, and it was painstaking. It was every line meant something. It wasn't just a juvenile or adolescent type of work. People don't understand how in depth that these books, these graphic novels,
it takes 6 months. It's sometimes months. And I can tell you, I would have to be at Starbucks for at least 5 hours a week. Every Wednesday night, I used to sit at Starbucks and I would sit there and just write and write and write. Okay, I got 4 pages done. Okay, I got 8 pages done. And we're talking about 82 pages to 120. And you're
for
going,
one
okay,
piece,
did I,
for one
did,
piece.
Yes. Did I get there? Did I get there? And then by the time the book comes out, it's a year after I wrote it. So I'm sitting at conventions with a book that I wrote a year ago, and I've already written so much after, and I'm trying to sell and believe something that I no longer care about because I'm already 2-3 books ahead.
It's like having a baby.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. You spent nine months caring, and now you're like, I don't love this.
Yeah, that's something like close enough. Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
I got another one on the way.
Yeah, I got like six running around the streets.
I'm going to tell you, Jeff, and I don't. This just popped in my head. You know how you come to me and Miguel, and you're like, "Hey, how can I work on comedy? You guys have been doing this for a very long time. I trust you." I've told Miguel numerous stories that I have ideas for, Jeff, and I want to come to you because I never told you this, but I draw.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks.
Okay, thanks. I'm sorry. That's all I needed. No, my wife already told me as well. Good. Thank you.
Okay.
I actually want to come to you at some point. I don't want you to do it, but I want you to give me some ideas and pointers and try to lead me down the right direction I need to go, because I have an idea and I've been drawing a comic book for years and I have ideas and stuff I want to run by you, same way you run by comedy by us. So at some point, I want to reveal to you a little bit about that. And get ideas from you.
The simple thing I'm going to tell you right now, and it's really simple. Okay. Do you know your ending?
Yes.
Is it a rock star ending?
I think it is. I actually do.
Then write backwards.
That's how I write jokes. That's okay. Funny. You always now, start with the punchline
exactly.
And write backwards.
Go backwards. And the big trick is this. It's math.
Okay.
If you're it's a 4-issue book, you get, 88 pages.
Yeah.
Your intro is 2-3 pages. Your exit is 3 pages. That leaves you with 78 pages left. You get what I'm saying? And then you break it up.
I do.
Because you can only – there's only so much space.
Yeah.
And you – like I told before, there's only so many sentences you can write. And people – the problem is writers don't imagine the artwork when it's done. And they load it up with dialogue. And where's the art going to fit? And that's the thing. We're the jockeys. The artists are the horses. Mm-hmm. So we have to respect that media. And every once in a while, we get our shot in, we get our joke in. But people are going to it mainly because they want – the art has to tell a story. Imagine they can't see a bit of dialogue you're writing. Will they understand what's going on in the story? Mm-hmm. And that's some of the advice I'd give you.
That's great advice, man. You just gave me that in 2 minutes. Sounds great.
I got to interview Stan Lee one time. And I had only met him once, and it was at the bot. I went to the – for those who don't know Stan Lee, you're a jerk-off.
The father of all comic books.
Yes. Spider-Man. Yes. He created more memorable characters than Shakespeare. I got to interview him. They said, okay, you get an interview for the documentary, but it's got to be in the sub-basement at New York Comic Con at the Javits Center. And I go running down, and the camera crew's running down with me, and I've never met this man, and he's my idol. There's nobody in the world you can introduce me to that is going to impact my world more than this guy. And there's a curtain, and I hear his voice, and I hear, oh, boy, I'm telling you, things are great, and I'm doing this. And I'm, oh, my God, Stanley's on the other side of the curtain. And I get there, and the curtain opens up, and I walk out there, and it's a slow walk, and I'm scared to death looking him in the eyes. And he goes, so what's this about, Jeff? And then he knows my name. I've almost lost my stuff. Oh, my God, he knows my name.
Yeah.
And he goes, so what's this about, Jeff? I said, well, it's called How to Fail in Comic Books. And the minute I said it, I go, oh, my God. He's going to think I think he's a failure. And I start mumbling, no, it's not about this, it's not about this. And he goes, oh, just give me the question, kid. What do you need? And I said, just tell people what they need to do, and it's not going to be easy. Is that what you really want? I'm going, yeah. And he goes, just ask the question. I ask the question. He goes off into the camera for 5 minutes. I'll tell you what you should do. And it was the best 5 minutes of my life. I'd give up every piece of sex I've ever had.
Woo!
Both times?
As long as I get, all 3 times. I had two kids, but that was chemical. To have those 5 minutes where I just sat there and I felt like I was an 8-year-old kid, just giddy. I was just holding the mic with my head down. And there's a picture in my house of me interviewing him. And it was the best 5 minutes. And when I walked out afterwards, I was just, my heart was like, oh my God, I've had the best, like one of these best moments of my whole life. And, you know, that's what comic books mean to me. So that's why I keep writing them.
Damn it, brother. That was good. Yeah. All right, man.
Scott, what are you doing with yourself, bro?
You're just I got the mascot head. I'm ready to go.
Scott, yeah. you just crapping all over this white thing you got going for you, man.
I know, right?
You know? Like, man, step it up.
I can't believe I'm quoting this one comic, but Scott, to quote Will Mills, you are wasting your skin tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not wrong. I mean, I got two baby mamas, you know, kids True. All over the place. So, yeah.
Oh, you're doing this all wrong. See what you got to do.
It's embarrassment to white privilege, I'm telling you.
Yes, Scott. You keep slipping up, man. The police going to shoot you at a traffic stop for minding your business.
I know, right? You know? I'm a white guy that identifies as a black dude. How about that?
Yeah. No more Froyo and Chick-fil-A, man. You're going to get cut off.
Scott, let me ask you this, though, man. We got a couple minutes. Who are, like, some of your role models in radio and podcasting? Because you're a big fan. You're a Monsters fan. Huge Monsters.
He is a 104.1 fan.
Yeah, man. That's how we met you.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Russ Rollins. You know, I started listening to talk radio back in 1994, listening to Howard Stern. On my way to school every day, high school, listening to Howard Stern. So it started with Howard Stern and then Russ, of course, Jim Phillips, you know, all the real radio guys.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you guys just for giving me an opportunity to hang out with you whenever you need someone. You know, it's been amazing. And then I'm listening to a podcast right now. It's Kevin Schmidlin out of Philly, and he's grown two successful podcasts. One of them is called Grow the Show, which is all about how to grow a successful podcast. So he's kind of like my current day role model, just kind of listening to how he did it.
Nice.
What like you always wanted to be in the radio biz though, didn't you? Like
always. Yeah. I mean when I was a kid, and I don't know if you remember the Jody and Scott show, it was on another radio station. I used to hang out with this kid, Jody, when we were kids, and we would set up these little intercoms around the house and do our own radio show. And this is second, third grade. So it's always been kind of a thing of mine to just, I don't know, there's just some magic behind people not being able to see you and trying to tell a story, and I've just always loved it.
You know, in high school, I every now and then, like maybe like three times during high school, always on Valentine's Day, though, I would just go into the office. They would have Denise Ayers. I remember Denise Ayers used to work in the office. Denise, about to blow your cover, but you used to let me get away with a lot of stuff. Denise Ayers would work in the office in school. She's another student. And I'd see that the office was empty, and I'd come in with my radio. And I'd walk right into the office with the intercom, and she would be like, don't do it. And I'm like, get out of here, Denise. Just make it sound like you didn't have nothing to do with this. And I would Andy Dufresne it. I would then put on, I'd be like, hey, everybody, this is just Miguel wanting to wish all you lovely ladies a happy Valentine's Day. This goes out to you ladies and the fellas. I'm definitely going to get a suspension for this, but it's well worth it. I love y'all. And I would play a love song, and then literally I'd sit there waiting, and then the door, and I'd be like, get open the goddamn door, Miguel. Open the goddamn door. I'd just be like, just sitting there rocking out.
And reaching out. I touch the window.
And I would just unlock the door, and I would just take my punishment with a smile. Like, and I would always tell.
So worth it.
Mr. Fulmer, I would always look at him and be like, we just did that, baby. We just did that for all of them.
We just did that for all the lovers. And he'll look at you and go, we did.
Hey, shout out to Mr. Fulmer. He passed away, I think, last year. He was my adversary, but never my enemy. A real dude, man, and a great principal for high school. So shout out to Mr. Fulmer. You were a real educator, and I was a badass little kid, but you were a real gentleman and an educator. We're going to commercial with that, guys. We'll be back with more Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1.
Hey, if you're looking for adult entertainment, then why would you go anywhere else but Grandview Live? Grandview Live Gentlemen's Club is the elite adult club of Daytona Beach and Volusia County. They're located in the heart of Daytona in the Seabreeze Entertainment District. Now, they provide you guys with sexy live entertainment, not just for the gentlemen, but ladies love them too, because they have everything the entire group would want for a great night on the town. They have 4 bars, 2 stages, VIP seating, full bottle service, and a nightly DJ who will keep the party going all night. So if you're looking for adult entertainment, Grandview Live is the place you want to be. And remember when you get there to let them know that Real Live sent you.
Welcome back to Real Labs on Real Radio 104.1. I am the host for today's show, Mr. Miguel Colon Jr. And before we hop into this show, I want to give a special shout out to one of the people that keep the lights on. That's 12 Rounds Boxing Gym, located at 20 West Silver Springs Boulevard, Ocala. They're open 365 days a year from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Owner Joyce Nieves has a great comprehensive program of physical fitness, as well as martial arts. They do Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, as well as traditional American boxing. That's 12 Rounds, located at 20 West Silver Springs Boulevard in Ocala, Florida, open 365 days a year from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And if you stop by, let them know Real Laughs sent you. Guys, during the commercial break, James was telling us about something. Like, James, can I let you just take over and just kind of explain the situation, kind of get the audience feeling what we're talking about?
Absolutely. Me and Jeff Kaufman were having a conversation. He kind of feels the same way I do. And let me kind of start off slow, and then we can kind of get into it. Noticing that as we get more and more successful, not just with Real Laughs, but me and Miguel as comedians, Jeff as he's doing new things with comic books and his career on the radio, and Scott with his podcast, I'm noticing the more success a person gets, the more you become aware that you can't take everybody with you. Yeah. Like, it was always in the back of my head, no matter what I did, once I got on, I was going to put on all my people. But I am noticing now, not everybody's ready to take that leap with you. Not saying that everybody is bad, not saying that everybody's out to get you or use you, just maturity-wise and what they have going on in their own lives, you can't take them to where you're going that's going to make you successful. Yeah. And Jeff made a great point. He said, man, James, he goes, I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to say it to you and make it simple. If you're a guy that's taking from me more than you're giving, then you got to go. Yeah. And I thought, damn, you just hit the nail on the head. That's exactly where I'm at. Miguel, I know you. You know a lot of people just like me.
Yeah.
We like to give folks opportunities. You know me, I'm always like, hey, man, I got a gig. You want to do it? It pays pretty well. But I'm noticing if you're always giving, and it's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm a spiritual person. I believe that's how I get my blessings. But if you're always giving and none of the people you give to ever give back, then there's a problem there. Like, I just want to put that out to you guys. And you tell me how you feel about those sentiments.
Here's how I've always seen it. And I've seen people successful. I've gone to up the mountain a couple of times, come back down. I would say I give probably 80 to 90% more than somebody gives back to me. And that's okay. Some people aren't able to give that much. Yeah. But if you are just a taker and a taker and a taker, and you eventually they will wear you out. And you think you – like, for example, I practice law too. And what happens is every once in a while a good friend of mine does something heinous. I mean, the most heinous thing you can imagine. Mm. I'm talking on levels that you and I both can imagine where, you know, you got to go get the shovels and you got to go, you know, you got to go out to the boat in the marina. And here's my rule of thought here. I will help you out and then I will cut you off.
Yeah. Mm. Carlito's Way style.
I will. If guess what? You and I were brothers, we're friends, we're everything else like that. You do something absolutely heinous, I will help you. And then afterwards, I will bow out. I will say, now we are no longer friends.
Yeah,
you know, so I didn't dump you when you were hurting.
Yeah.
I dumped you after I took care of you.
That's wow.
So that I don't, and whatever you take with you, that's okay. In my heart, I know I was there for you when you hurt, but you are no longer allowed to, how can I say, be part of my space.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer worthy to be in my life. And that's it.
We're clean now.
I get it.
I did more. I gave more than I took. And you're talking about people who come to you. I mean, for example, Miguel came to my house on Saturday and cleaned the house, and I thought it was really cool. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah. Miguel, that's terrible.
Wow.
Miguel came and actually helped me out with my stand-up and worked with me for like 2 to 3 hours. And I'm not used to people helping me out. I mean, I'm really not. And I'll never forget that. And I'll go, wow, you know, Miguel could come to me with anything. And I'll go, hey, listen, you know, I can't, you know, this is a guy who gave and didn't ask for anything. And in my world, it's the other way around. Yeah. So, you know, when I look at somebody who does something like that, you know, I go, wow, that was a really cool thing. And my appreciation will obviously come back 10 times fold because I can't leave that debt on my ledger.
Well, another thing to say with that, something that me and Busey have had this conversation before, is like, we're down to support you. Meaning if you're making moves and trying to make things happen and need some extra help. But what we don't want to do is just be the ones, your benefactor. I don't want to be your sponsor doing everything for you so that a lot of people come to you at that stage. Instead of coming to you and being like, this is where I'm at. I need this. I need your resources to help me move forward this way. And you're like, of course. That's one of the reasons we all try to be each other's crutches. We all try to make sure we're successful and have enough so that we can help each other. But when you come to me with nothing and you've had the same opportunities as me and I've seen what you've squandered and you're like, I need everything. Then, you know, like Jeff said, fine, but this is where it ends.
You are my friend, not a dependent.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Great. That's perfect.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly what we're
except if we're doing taxes.
Yes.
Then I'm like, right. I got you, baby. I just need to claim you.
Oh man. And I don't like to put a lot of my business out there, but the reason I had brought that up, guys, because I'm in a weird position where
chicks acting up.
You know.
It's Verona, isn't it?
That pot just came right across the screen and took him out.
I told you that North Carolina hillbilly never gonna change her ways.
It's funny, bro. What honestly,
Michelle,
not that. Cause
none of that.
Yeah, none of that. Yeah, let's make sure we say that. None of that.
Yeah, Verona keeps her stuff together.
That's true. Yeah. She's a great side chick. Yeah, she knows her role.
She ain't like Sally.
Just really, really quickly, not being dramatic, I'm in a position now where I can help out a lot of comics, and I try. I really do. Where I can give them opportunities that they might not have. Yeah. But the problem I get is people don't come up to me and goes, hey, James, see what you got going on. What do I need to do to audition to do that? What do I need to do on my end to get that? It's, yo, James, when do I get to be on that? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, hold up. Like, what?
Boom, chicka, boom. Slow down, baby.
Yeah, slow down. Like, I'm like, you're not going to even ask me. You're just going to tell me that I owe you. And I'm like, and I look at the people that are telling me these things, like, I need a date. And I'm like, you've never once in my entire 20-year career as a comic helped me out. You run rooms that are great, well-paying desks. You've never called me to say, James, you'd like to do this room. I'm not the funniest comic, but I can do my job as one.
And you're a bad guy for not helping them out. That's how they feel.
Yeah. Yes!
Oh, and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You have done nothing for me. And in my industry, for example, I have guys who I've helped out in comic books and I've helped out in life, and they're running studios. They're running major studios putting out everybody's stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. I kept you alive and you can't even look at my comic book to take it to the next level.
Exactly.
And the level of furiousness that you have, but my ex said it the best to me. She goes, Jeff, people can't be you. Don't expect people to care as much as you care. Yeah.
And I just as an adult truly learned what that meant and made peace with it. That's why I'm so calm. That's why I'm in a good place now, because I had to realize, look, not everybody has the same ethics that we all grew up with. Moral code that we had is people help you, you give back. So I had to realize not everybody's going to think like you, James, and they're not supposed to. Everybody's different. So I have to no longer keep projecting my morals and beliefs on other people, because it's never going
to
happen.
And something you've got to remind yourself is bad people will succeed. So don't get mad.
Yes.
Why are they succeeding? They're hard. But you got to know this. If you were a bad person, no matter how good you were doing, you'd never feel successful.
Nope.
So personally, we can't be bad people and feel successful. So that's all we can judge on, because you are going to watch some scoundrels make it to the top, and there is no truth to, oh, one day they'll fall. I've watched
Horrible people. Karma does not apply to bad people. It does. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. So you've got to remind, and that's something I tell myself. I'm like, hey, man, I can't get mad and get frustrated when I see horrible people remain on the top and make it to the top. All I need to know is if I would have done the same things they did to get there, I'd never be happy with myself.
James, okay. I'm going to give you the test of when you know to cut somebody off. Okay. Here's the test.
Scott looked up real quick and he's like, I got a list. So,
here's the test. Everybody out there, I want you to hear this.
Okay.
You're going to cut this person loose if this happens to you twice. When you look at your phone and you see caller ID who it is and you go, ugh.
Yeah.
If that happens more than once, gotta let them go.
Yeah.
Because you no longer want them in your life because you know they're going to ask you for stuff and they're not going to give you stuff back.
Also, here's another one for me. Whatever you guys did in the past that makes you feel you owe them, you have to weigh that against, are we still those people? If you've moved past being that person,
great point.
Something you guys did when you were other people. And maybe you owe them, like I said, like Scott, I like Scott's vibe on that. I'm with it too. I'll take care of this one for you. But then we're cashed out because we're not the same people anymore.
We're even. Yep. We're all caught up. There you go. Yeah. God, that's woo.
I had a friend of mine who he was one of my oldest friends. And let's just say he called me, his wife called me up and said he pistol whipped her. And that he's in jail and he needs, and this family doesn't work without him and blah, blah, blah. And I did things that I would never do. You know, put my career on the line, put my business on the line, and I took care of him. And right after that, he called me. Hey, I can't thank you enough. I said, well, it ends here, man.
Yeah.
You know, I love you. I love you. And I was there for you. And I delivered for you because that's the kind of person I am. But you are no longer the kind of person I want in my world.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And what people need to understand, too, is you can love bad people.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you got to keep them in your life.
Mm-mm.
You know, because you love who they were with you back when you guys were rolling together. You know, some of these bad people that you know to this day, there's guys I know to this day that I can't associate with because I don't want anything to do with that life.
Yeah.
But I know I'll never call in a favor for them because I don't want to owe and I don't want a favor from people. If I'm not willing to associate with you, then I shouldn't also be wanting a favor from you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be a part of your world, but now I'm in a bad spot and I want to reach out. No, that's not right. That's like the moment in The Godfather when basically in the beginning of the movie, when he's explaining to the guy that you never wanted to be my friend, but now you want my friendship. You know, you've got to know when you cut people off, you've got to cut them off, even if you love them. But something that's important, too, is and what people don't get, too, is you can forgive people, bad people, for stuff they did to you, but you don't have the right to forgive them for what they did to other people. You can still love them, but the forgiveness isn't your call.
But I don't have to. I don't have to forgive them for that other stuff.
Yeah.
No, you don't. That's what I'm saying. It's not your business to forgive.
I don't know what relationship you had with these people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a hard thing. They go, well, you know what he did to that guy? No, I don't.
Yeah,
no.
I don't. That's the
thing. Not my world. I wasn't in that world. I don't know what the motivations were, you know.
That's exactly it. It's not your responsibility to forgive for what people did to other people. But it's also you need to be clear, like people change, and you've got to accept that. And you don't owe everybody now from what
I guarantee. I guarantee when Cosby got out of prison, there were 8 buddies going, hey, man, let's go out.
Yeah.
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 They weren't even thinking about all those women. They're going to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, absolutely.
Happens.
And I like the moral stance because I'm not saying everybody has to do it, Jeff, but I'm saying I would. I like where you're coming from. You say, look, man, I stood by you like a true friend in your time of need, but I cannot. In my fiber, in my moral being, continue to be friends with you, knowing that you did this.
Yeah,
exactly. We're not there. We're not.
Sorry. I helped you like I'm supposed to. I did my part, but we're even now. Our books are caught up. Gotta go. Yeah. I wish you best of luck, sir. But can't be friends anymore.
This is it.
Certain things you just can't do in my book, and I'd be okay with it.
No,
like, I got the midnight call from Scott to help him bury a body. The whole time, I'd just be like, wow. I never saw this coming, kid. Not you. Wow.
I kind of respect you now.
Yeah. Get Kaufman on the phone now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even get you on the phone to, like, I'd be like, Kaufman, Our baby boy's got a pair. Did you know that?
I get street cred immediately.
Hey, we got to go to commercial, don't we, James?
We do. We got to go. Guys,
when we come back, man, we'll insult Scott more, but we'll also let everybody know we love him. And please listen to the No New Podcast, No New Friends Podcast.
Yes.
Hey everybody, it is James Yon from Real Labs, and it's time to talk comedy Sanford, Florida. Get ready because Alex Soto Comedy proudly presents the Whiny Winch Comedy Show at the new Whiny Winch Theater inside Seminole Town Center Mall. The first show is going to be absolutely amazing. They have Jersey, the Haitian sensation, and he is bringing along some very funny friends. The show is on Sunday, August 15th, and showtime is at 4 p.m. Tickets are only $15 at the door with a two-drink minimum. Food and drink will be available. Again, it goes down at the Whiny Winch Theater inside the Seminole Town Center Mall, located at 200 Town Center Drive in beautiful Sanford, Florida. Get your tickets right now on Eventbrite. Just look for the Whiny Winch Comedy Show. Alex Soto Comedy, where we're healing the world with laughter. See you guys there.
Real.
Welcome back to Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. I am your host, Miguel Jr., joined in virtual studio with James Yon, Scott Maffei, and Jeff Kaufman. And guys, we were actually just talking during the break about, or before the break, about how sometimes you got to let people go, and sometimes people come to you and they're bringing up old favors. But there's a reverse to that, too. There are people that, as you grow in success, in the back of your mind, you're like, I have got to make sure that I do right by this person.
Yes.
For this.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, Miguel.
And I'll say, one of the people for me in my life, besides the fact that my mother's always been there to support me and love me and care about my career, my mom's been awesome. But I will say this, and I will bring this up always, that when I decided to do stand-up comedy as my career only, and I didn't want to bartend anymore, and I used to own like a small home repair business, I left all that and I said, I'm going to pursue comedy full time. This is what I'm going to do. And it was rocky and scary. And I had some money saved up and everything, but it was rocky and scary. My father came to me and my father said, I will help you. My father helped me out, make sure that I was straight while I was taking care of all this, to the point that my father gave me a backing if I needed anything, but only on the grounds that I continued to pursue comedy, because he wanted me to follow this dream and he respected it and cared about it. And that was huge to me, because it wasn't like him being like, oh, my son, he doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, my son, here, if you need money, I'll pay a bill or something. Because that wasn't how it ever was with him. He came to me and told me, he said, I really believe in your dream. So if you need something, and when you need something, come to me. And he helped me out. He helped me out immensely, to the point where I guarantee you I wouldn't have been able to pursue comedy as aggressively as I did those first 10 months or so without my father having my back like that. So It's always been in my mind that there are people like that, that you need to make sure you do right by. And to like my father, to make sure I do right by, it's just about making sure I show him how passionate I am about this. And you know, he was just at the taping of our special and he loved it. And it's just important.
Miguel, can I tell you real quick? That's what I loved about your special, your family coming out. Your family gotten to see how far you've come in a short amount of time, Miguel. That's the crazy part, brother. We talked about it before. You have the gift of gab. Brother, you are amazing. I'm always impressed by your talent, but you have not been doing it for a crazy long time, brother. You shot a special, and a hell of a special, man. The crowd was rocking that night, man. It was electric. It was amazing. And I'm proud of you, man. I just want to say it was great to see your family get to come witness you do that. So that's all I want to interject.
I think one of the coolest things about our special that we shot, James, there was no stranger in that crowd.
No,
me and you knew everybody in the crowd. And then, and not too many, but Warrens and stuff, because we've been to other people's specials and they're dope. But I, honest to God, there was no one in that crowd that me and you didn't know. And that was 200 plus people.
It was.
And we knew everybody.
Everybody.
People came in from out of town for it, man. People flew in for it. It was a big deal. That was a really big deal. That was
a really cool thing to watch you guys achieve that. I mean, you know, when people don't understand, when you get to watch somebody do something that is incredible, and a lot of people don't understand what that means. These 30-minute specials were incredible. These are benchmarks in your life. 10-minute moments.
Yeah.
Where you look at them and go, this was a great moment. And, you know, I've watched a difference between doing a room and doing a special. I mean, I've watched about, I'd say, 30 comedy specials in the last 2 weeks to see, to feel the flow, to understand what people are doing and not doing. And when you see a big room like that and you're knocking that out and it's a big deal, you could feel the energy. And I mean, how much different was that to do that show than, let's say, you know, where they have the same amount of people, but this is your thing.
Yeah.
How cool was that?
It was cool and it was different because when you do a special, it's unlike doing a club because a club is intimate. It's low ceilings. You can see everybody to a certain extent. You can interact with people, and that's a part of the show. When you're doing a special, you're always thinking in the back of your head, this is for people sitting at home watching it. So me playing to the crowd doesn't translate well. So that it's a performance at that point. It's not a lot of interaction. So you always keep that in mind. Comedy's a little bit different in that way. I don't know if you felt the same way, Miguel, but that's kind of where I was.
100%.
Okay, also, got it.
While I was up there, I was like, I can't flub a word. I can't. I have to knock this out one take for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I can't fall back on any kind of like club moves like, oh man, laughter, smile, chill for me. I have to be entertaining the audience on TV. So what was really interesting about that is being 100% aware of the audience in front of you and yet being aware of the potential audience that was going to be watching this special and trying to rock them too. And you know, like on my special, I thought about things like words were so important to me, meaning like I didn't want to use anything that was regional. I didn't want to talk about things by brand names, you know, like where some of my jokes I'll talk about Netflix, I might be potentially selling this to Hulu. So I don't want to be talking about Netflix on this, you know, and figuring out like how to make the term, how to be on stage and say I was watching something on a streaming service. Well, that doesn't sound natural, but I have to talk like that in a way instead of saying, so I was watching Amazon, and then Hulu's like, yeah, I loved everything, but I'm not going to have this guy talking about how cool Amazon was, you know? You had to be aware of a lot more technical things than I've ever been aware of.
It's a timeless issue. You know, people, when you're writing a comic book, it's the same way. You don't want to use an analogy. You don't want to use a reference to a book or a movie or something else like that some of your audience might not understand.
Yeah.
And it's easy to rip on somebody who's in the news today.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to translate a year from now or
correct
or from now. So that's the hard part.
I remember
about writing.
Too, I told James because there were so many people there to see us that we knew. And James was like, man, he's like, you look at this audience, man, we know everybody here. And I was like, man, I was like, some girl's about to find out about each other. Like, I was like, man.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Girl.
it was surreal because my kids, you know, they're older now.
Yeah.
They're just now getting to an age where they can come see me. They all came out.
Yeah,
my son Devin brought his girlfriend. She brought her brothers.
Your sister-in-law came out.
My sister-in-law came out. Yeah. Megan came
from
Sarasota, man. It was just an amazing. My sister Gwen came out, man. It was just awesome to see my family come out and do something like that. So I tell everybody, I'm not tooting my own horn, but we left nothing to chance, me and you. We had the shows of our lives that night, man.
Me and James had a tradition. Of after we kill a show, we just look at each other. We're like, can't win them all. Better luck next time.
Yeah, you know? We'll get them next time.
We'll get them next time, you know?
It was awesome, man. And so I was just happy that we got to experience that with each other, man. That was awesome.
Man, it was great. That was great.
And I also want to
hope it sells.
Knock on. But here's the thing. And I never want to jinx it as comics. We don't. If we sell this to who we think we're going to sell it to, guys, I don't know how – I'm not over-exaggerating when I say this.
Yeah.
It would be life-changing.
You guys ever have a little studio called Crackle?
Okay. Yeah.
a little network called Pluto TV. Okay? Yeah. We're about to ball. They're going to play this special 36 times in a row, you know?
That is hilarious.
I don't know if you guys have ever
man.
Heard of a little channel they like to call the DIY channel. I'm serious. And guys, they're talking like $6,000 or $7,000 between us all. That's like $500 a piece. We just killed it.
Oh my God.
Gold.
You guys, look, see, what I love is that the chance that you never know. So if this, let's say this thing got picked up and you'd be going, well, nah, I got to do the circuit now. I got to do all the improvs. I got to do this. I got to do, you know, forget, you know, I'm not saying where the club you're playing now, but you've made comments. You've talked to me about, there's no money on this floor. Now it's like, it's not an issue of money. Right. It's an issue of your agent going, okay, we need this. We need this. We need this.
That's right.
He's going to do these 9 shows in a row. You know, he's doing this. He's doing this. You know, there's sitcom possibilities. There's, you know,
Jeff? It's the difference between throwing a pole in or throwing a line from a pole into a lake and throwing a line from a pole into the ocean. When we're fishing in these lakes right now, we know what the possible outcomes can be. But when you throw that line into the ocean, you don't know what the possibility
is. Whale, man. White whale. Man. Who knows, man?
Or just a lot of plastic.
Now, white privilege whale. You know?
Maybe
Before I forget, man, we have a new sponsor, speaking of comedy. He's a guy that I've worked for many times. He's a great promoter. He's a great booker. He's very honest as well. Me and Miguel both work for him. And I wanted to
–
straightforward shooter, man. I want to definitely shout out Mr. Alex Soto. Sanford, Florida, you guys get ready, because Alex Soto is bringing comedy to the new Whiny Wench Theater, which is located inside the Seminole Town Square Mall. His very first show is going to be with a friend of this show, actually, Mr. Jersey the Haitian Sensation. That first show is going to be Sunday, August 15th at the new Whiny Wench Theater inside the Seminole Town Square Mall. Please tell everybody about it. It's only going to be $15 at the door plus a 2-drink minimum. It's going to be located at 200 Town Center Drive in beautiful Sanford, Florida. Guys, check it out. It's going to be amazing. Jersey the Haitian Sensation, one of the guys, one of the 10 comics who shot their special at my place of work at Afro. So he's definitely hilarious. You guys need to check that out. For more details right now, definitely hit up Alex Soto Comedy on his website. Go to all his social media outlets under Alex Soto Comedy. It's going to be amazing. That is Sunday, August 15th. The show is at 4 p.m. with Jersey the Haitian Sensation. Go check that out.
Jersey is one of the most entertaining comics you will see.
Absolutely.
You're going to have a blast. You're going to have
absolutely.
Blast. And Alex Soto, you're going to see him. He's rocking a zoot suit like he got in a riot with a bunch of sailors and throwing back a bottle of gin. Alex Soto, zoot suits. I don't even think his tailor is alive anymore. I think Alex Soto bought a house, and it was an old tailor's house, and he opened up a door like a closet to Narnia, and it was just nothing but zoot suits lined up. I don't know where you get a zoot suit from. It's like he got in a DeLorean and he said, I want to go back 1955. And they're like, cool, man. What do you want to do in 1955? He's like, shop, baby.
Oh, talking about every time they do a revival of West Side Story, he's the first one trying to get the throwaways.
Dude, he's got more zoot suits than a cholo in L.A. in 68.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
Like, yeah, true. And he puts on good shows. And think about it, man. Like you said, he's a fair and honest businessman. In a business that we don't run into a lot of fair and honest people all the time. There's a lot of scoundrels in the entertainment.
I've actually heard his name mentioned a lot lately, and I'm only so much in the industry, you know. So it's like I heard him, and somebody asked me what I thought. I said, listen, he's busting. He's working his ass off.
He definitely does, man.
It's important, man. If you're booked on a show that the people who book you care about the show, that's good energy, man.
It's different.
Good.
I can tell you, I haven't done that many shows, but the ones I have done, the people who put nothing into it, that the room has nothing
back
in it.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been noticing.
Jeff, it's that simple. Now, Miguel, I know we got a couple of minutes left. Just want to make sure we have enough time to tell all the people where we're going to be this weekend so they come check us out. Miguel, where are you going to be, brother?
This weekend, I'm going to be at Johnny's Filling Station on Michigan Avenue in downtown Orlando. I'm going to be there with Tom and Dan. We're doing a mechanical shark riding contest. And
nice!
Mike Busey's going to be hosting or judging it. So we're going to bring the tour bus out there, a bunch of girls, hang out and party. And then after that, we're going to Wills on Mills to go see Struggle Jennings perform. Struggle's a real good friend of ours.
Oh, not bad!
He's a grandson of Waylon Jennings, and he's an amazing artist.
Gotcha, man. This Thursday, I'm going to be performing at the Swirlery Wine Bar in Orlando, Florida. If you guys want to get tickets for that, yeah, you know me, I'm going to pinky up. If you guys want to get tickets, definitely come check out my social media. I'll be having links there for tickets. And on Saturday, I'm going to be at Jackie Knight's Comedy Club, St. Augustine, with the very funny and talented Morgan Gallo. If you guys want to get tickets to that, definitely check out JackieKnightComedyClub.com, and you can check out my social media to get yourself some tickets.
Cool, man. Hey, Jeff, where are you going to be on Saturday?
I'm going to be working really hard trying to get these books out for MegaCon and DragonCon and New York Comic Con. We're finishing up Jolly Jane, trying to get this last book, one out of this fourth issue done so we can get that ready. And then I'm going to try to set up a Suicide Squad preview next, a week from Thursday.
That's what's nice. Up. Scott, how can they hear your podcast, No New Friends?
No New Friends podcast. We're streaming everywhere. Just follow us on Facebook. We're going to be live streaming tomorrow night, Wednesday, with James Yawn live at 8 o'clock. Woo!
Hell yeah, for myself, James Yawn, Scott McFay, Jeff Kaufman, and from Ken Miller and Mike Hurley, who couldn't be here tonight. Good night. We'll see you all tomorrow. You're listening to Real Laughs.
Hey, if you're looking for adult entertainment, then why would you go anywhere else but Grandview Live? Grandview Live Gentlemen's Club is the elite adult club of Daytona Beach and Volusia County. They're located in the heart of Daytona in the Seabreeze Entertainment District. Now, they provide you guys with sexy live entertainment, not just for the gentlemen, but ladies love them too, because they have everything the entire group would want for a great night on the town. They have four bars, two stages, VIP seating, full bottle service, and a nightly DJ who will keep the party going all night. So if you're looking for adult entertainment, Grandview Live is the place you want to be. And remember when you get there to let them know that Real Laughs sent you.